morning. Good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Friday. Yeah, Joe, it's Friday,
it's
right?
It's Friday again.
Well, Joe Barner across the way, and of course, Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first.
And Joseph Paul Barner the first.
There you go. See, it sounds good, don't it?
I'm glad to hear you forecasting some chances of showers. May not be big chances, but we need rain.
Well, Monday, 50% chance, so that's a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm kind of excited to see what's going to take place, you know.
And some temperatures next week in the 80s, the highs.
Oh, yeah.
Now the night temperatures, I've really enjoyed those.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Early mornings.
Early morning.
A few mornings this week when I had a chance to get out and walk early in the morning. I even wore a little light jacket in the morning. So it's really nice in the mornings.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And kind of late in the evening, just before sundown, it gets pretty nice again.
I've been working out in my shop, even though it hit 90, but it's a different type of 90. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that 90 where it's just extremely hot. There's like a breeze blowing just a little bit.
And it's probably kind of a dry 90 instead of a very humid 90.
Yeah, and it feels, to me, at 90 with this temp, feels good, put it that way.
So. Well, here we are talking about the weather.
Yeah. Are we going to talk about weather anymore?
No, we're going to talk about complaining today.
Oh, no. We never do that. Never do that.
Well, I'm glad then. Then maybe this will address some other people that struggle with
complaining.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty human tendency.
It is,
and more so than we like to admit, we complain. We'll be looking at Numbers, starting in Numbers chapter 10, and we'll find the Israelites complaining.
Hello, I'm Ken Cummins, General Manager of your community Christian station, Missionary Radio. For over 44 years, Missionary Radio has been your Christian community station, sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're 100% listener-funded, which means we depend on your partnership to stay on the air. This year's What an Awesome God Carathon is October 7th through 9th. We're asking you to renew your faith pledge and raise it if you can. Please come back if you had to stop giving or partner with us for the first time. Over the summer, giving fell short by 50 to 75%, so your response is more important than ever. As a matter of fact, we're asking you to get started right now. It's simple to get involved. Go online at missionary.radio, click donate, and fill out the faith pledge card there, and then set up your giving through Cornerstone Payment System, or call us during the Carathon at 877-885-9655. Let's keep Missionary Radio strong and vibrant in our community, because we serve an awesome God.
And welcome back to the front porch on your community station, Missionary Radio, and we're going to be talking about complaining, right?
That's where we're headed.
Oh, boy.
This morning in the book of Numbers, chapter 10, when we left off last week, we found the Israelites were camped at the base of Mount Sinai after the Ten Commandments were given to them, and they were waiting for the Lord to lead them forward toward the land he had promised them. How would they recognize his leadership? How would they know when to break camp and to move forward? Well, Numbers 10, verses 11 through 13 tells us what they were waiting for.
11 through 13. Now it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel set out from the wilderness from Sinai on their journeys. Then the cloud settled down in the wilderness of Paran. So they started out for the first time according to the command of the Lord by the hand of Moses.
So how would they know when to move on? Well, when the cloud would lift over the tabernacle and the trumpet would blow to let the people know, the cloud's moving. It's time for us to move too.
Time to move.
The Lord wants us to move on. And it was time to pack up and move forward. And so they did so in the way that they had been instructed, in an orderly way. Skip down in Numbers chapter 10 to verses 33 through 36. It records them setting off on their journey.
So they departed from the mountain of the Lord on a journey of 3 days, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them for 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was whenever the ark set out that Moses said, "Rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you." And when it rested, he said, "Return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel."
So it seems in verses 35 and 36 that Moses developed a song they would sing, or a standard prayer that he would pray on those occasions.
Mm-hmm.
What was he praying for them as they move forward?
That their enemies would be scattered.
He was praying that the Lord would go before them to conquer mm-hmm. and banish their enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the cloud would stop, he would pray a prayer that the Lord would return from going on ahead of them
mm-hmm.
and come back and make his presence known to the people. So as one writer put it, the same Lord who became his people's chief ally when they stopped would strike terror in all who opposed them as they advanced. Now, those first 3 days of travel must not have gone so well. And remember, this was all on foot.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of walking.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder if the people had gotten soft as they camped there at the foot of Mount Sinai for over 10 months. Well, it didn't take long for them to react negatively to the rigors of travel.
Mm.
Now, Brian, they're going to complain.
They're going to complain.
So tell us about it. Numbers 11, 1 through 3.
Now, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. So the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of in the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, and when Moses prayed to the Lord, the fire was quenched. So he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord had burned among them.
So now it had started.
They're complaining.
The complaining, also called whining or murmuring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was the reason for it? Well, all we know is that they were complaining about the hardship of the first 3 days of travel.
Mm-hmm.
They may have been like my brothers and I when we were growing up traveling with Dad and Mom. For countless miles, they heard us from the back seat. How much longer until we get there? How much further?
Are we there yet?
We miss the comforts of home. We want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
We miss our cats and even a few mallard ducks that my dad kept on our acre of ground, creatively named Donald and Dottie.
Really? All right.
And we even made up songs and sang about missing the pigs that we kept that would be eaten later.
Really? Okay. So you made
silly
up song?
Children.
Made up songs?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
It's a wonder, or chance, kind of.
I got you.
It's a wonder my mom and dad would take us anywhere. But the Israelites were doing something similar. Why did the Lord react so strongly to their complaints? He sent fire on the outskirts of their camp,
mm-hmm.
although most commentators believe no one was hurt or burned.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was the attitude behind those complaints. An unthankful spirit and a lack of faith and trust in God's leading. Remember how much the Lord had already done for them, bringing them out of slavery in Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. When the Egyptians tried it, it didn't work so well, did it?
That's right.
And perhaps the Lord knew more complaints were forthcoming from his people. While the fire by night had been a sign of God's presence with his people, this fire reminded them that God would deal with their sin.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened when they brought their complaint to Moses, especially about the fires? Well, Moses prayed to the Lord.
Yes.
And the Lord put out the fires.
I was trying to find it there. I don't know.
That fire was a warning that the Lord would not take their belly aching kindly.
Yeah.
It needed to stop right there, but it didn't, unfortunately. Speaking of belly aching, the next complaint had to deal with the food that God was giving them to fill their bellies, manna. We
okay.
need to remember that before it was all said and done, this manna, which was the Israelites' name for it, and it simply meant, what is it?
Yeah, what is it?
This manna would sustain them for 40 years. It turns out this manna had great nutritional value.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord viewed it as bread from heaven. And there's a passage that talks about it in Psalm 78:25, where manna is called the bread of angels. So again, though the Israelites complained, this time in verses 4 through 9 of Numbers 11, they were complaining about the food that the Lord was providing for them every day.
Now the mixed multitude who were among them yielded to intense craving. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, "Who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our whole being is dried up. There is nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Now the manna was like quarter seed, and its color like the color of bdellium. The people went up or went about and gathered it, ground it on millstones, or beat it into the mortar, cooked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And its taste was like the taste of pastry prepared with oil. And when the dew fell on the camp in the night, the manna fell on it."
It's interesting that when this complaining started, the New International Version and the Christian Standard Bible refer to the riffraff among them.
Okay.
In any group of people, there are always people who look past what they have, their blessings. In this case, a daily provision of manna from the Lord. And our tendency is to look to what we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And we want it.
Yep.
And we're going to let you know.
Oh, yes.
So these folks called riffraff here, or rabble, or even in some versions, a mixed multitude. And that phrase reminds us that in this crowd of 2 million people coming out of Egypt, there were some people who may not have been Israelites, but they could have been hangers-on who saw this as a good opportunity to better their lives. Exodus 12:38 refers to a mixed multitude who went up with them also with flocks and herds and a great deal of livestock. If they had wanted meat so badly, all they had to do was do a little butchering.
True.
But they wanted the meat handed to them on a silver platter. They're getting spoiled already with this manna.
They didn't want to do the work.
Yep.
Okay.
So it's among this group, this mixed multitude, that the complaining started. But guess what? Someone starts complaining, it spreads quite quickly.
Oh, yes.
Very quickly.
Everybody starts complaining, too.
And I think that's why we're told numerous times in Scripture to avoid complaining. Mm-hmm. Now, the verse that popped into my mind was Philippians 2, verse 14. In the NIV, it says, "Do everything without grumbling or arguing."
Mm.
In the New King James Version, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." In the King James Version, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings."
Mm-hmm.
And in the New Living Translation, "Do everything without complaining and arguing." Those are some verses you might want for your girls, Brian.
There we go. Yeah.
I'll have to make you a copy of that.
Yeah, make me a copy of that. I need that, yeah.
So could the reason we're told not to complain and grumble and murmur and argue is that because that attitude is so contagious, it spreads so quickly?
It does.
And it elevates here to weeping at the doors of their tents. Every one of them, it says. Sounds like you could walk through the whole encampment of 2 million people, and at the door of every tent, there were folks weeping because they wanted fish and not manna.
Yeah.
They were far from any bodies of water, so they developed an intense craving for fish.
I like fish.
I do, too. And they look back to the good old days in Egypt when they had plenty of fish to eat with cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. Someone pointed out that back in Egypt, the Israelites had settled in the most fertile land, the land of Goshen, which was practically the breadbasket of Egypt. But in fondly recalling the food they had eaten, and now that they were hungry for, what slipped their minds? Well, they forgot one small unpleasantry of their time in Egypt, that they had been slaves. Exodus 1:14 says that the Egyptian masters made their lives bitter with hard bondage. Many years ago, about 1980, Christian singer Keith Green addressed this issue that came up here in Numbers 11. I'm going to just read the words for you. So you want to go back to Egypt where it's warm and secure? Are you sorry you bought the one-way ticket when you thought you were sure? You wanted to live in the land of promise. Now it's getting so hard. Are you sorry you're out here in the desert instead of in your own backyard? Eating leeks and onions by the Nile. Ooh, what breath. But dining out in style.
I bet.
Ooh, my life's on the skids, building the pyramids. Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing to do but travel, and we sure travel a lot. Because it's hard to keep your feet from moving when the sand gets so hot. Ouch. And in the morning, it's manna hotcakes. We snack on manna all day. And we sure had a winner last night for dinner, flaming manna souffle. So you want to go back to Egypt where your friends wait for you and you can throw a big party and tell the whole gang of what they said was all true. And this Moses, he acts like a big shot. Who does he think he is? That is true that God works lots of miracles, but Moses thinks they're all this, all his. Well, I'm having so much trouble even now. Why'd he get so mad about that cow, that golden calf? Moses seems rather idle. He just sits around. He just sits around and writes the Bible. Oh, Moses, put down your pen. What? Oh, no, manna again? Oh, manna waffles, manna burgers, manna bagels, filet of manna, manna patties, and banana bread. Rather than be thankful for the Lord's provision of food every day, and I wonder if the Israelites came up with a cookbook.
I just wonder.
101 delicious ways to fix manna. But rather than be thankful, they whined and complained for what they didn't have. Although God had promised the land to which they were heading was a land full of milk and honey. Mm-hmm. But it seems to be a human tendency. You may have noticed, Brian, that we focus too often on what we don't have.
Yes.
We even look back fondly to the good old days, which, when you think about them, they weren't really as good as we remember them. Mm-mm. But we do that rather than be thankful to God for what we do have today. So this complaining and whining is building, becomes a wail. It's intensified and spread. You can almost hear the chant building, we want fish, we want fish, we want cucumbers and melons, we
yes.
want cucumbers and melons.
Yes, yes.
And especially we want leeks and onions and garlic. Mm. Well, complain.
Complain.
You know, those things are written in scriptures, and the New Testament says, for examples, for us. Mm-hmm. Not to follow in their steps.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk more about the Israelites in the book of Numbers chapter 11, and there are consequences to complaining.
All right.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Hopkinsville, keep up the good work. May God continue to bless the Missionary Radio stations and all of you. Thanks. From Clarksville, I love the station. It has blessed me so much. From Katie's, thanks for all you do. God bless you all. And from Woodlawn, we plan to support the station as long as the Lord provides. We appreciate everyone there. God bless.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Music and programming to exalt King Jesus.
Missionary Radio.
I thought you could say, God is with us.
Well, yeah.
And that's a good thing to say rather than
yes.
to complain and whine and wail as the Israelites did in Numbers 11, 10 through 15.
Then Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families, everyone at the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was greatly aroused. Moses also was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you afflicted your servant? And why have I not found favor in your sight, that you have laid the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I begot them that you should say to me, 'Carry them into your bosom,' as a guardian carries a nursing child to the land which you swore to their fathers? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they weep all over me, saying, 'Give us meat that we may eat.' I am not able to bear all these people alone because the burden is too heavy for me. If you treat me like this, please kill me here and now. I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my wretchedness."
Now, we read that the Lord was greatly angry at their whining and complaining.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses, their leader,
yeah,
he had enough as well.
He'd had enough.
What was Moses saying in his complaint to the Lord? Well, to paraphrase, these people you have put me in charge of are like whining, crying children.
Yes.
They never stop. And I can't take it anymore.
I want meat.
Lord, put me out of my misery.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
I never wanted this job of nursemaid in the first place.
Mm-mm.
Moses does not look like a godly man here, does he?
Mm-mm. No.
He sounds like he's having a pretty serious pity party.
Yeah, he is.
But at least he took his complaint to the right place, to the right person.
That's right.
He takes it to the Lord. And the Lord knew exactly what Moses was feeling. He was feeling the same way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was a good thing for Moses to realize that without help, without the Lord's help,
mm-hmm.
he was not up to the task of leading this people.
Yeah.
Now, we pray our spiritual leaders and our political leaders would come to that realization and call on the Lord for his help and his wisdom. In fact, as this elevates in a number of chapters, in Numbers 20, we'll see Moses losing his temper
mm-hmm.
with this unruly, complaining, and whining bunch because they keep at it. We see him striking the rock in anger instead of just speaking to it as God told him to do. And we hear Moses saying, "Must we bring you water?" And that attitude of pride in that moment cost Moses the opportunity to enter the promised land. But here in Numbers 11, God was gracious with the complaining Moses. Instead of punishing him, he gives him 70 men, elders, to help him bear the weight of responsibility. We see that in Numbers 11, 16 and 17.
"So the Lord said to Moses, 'Gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders of the people and the officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Then I will come down and talk with you there. I will take of the Spirit that is upon you, and you will put on the same upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it yourself alone."
So these men were a support system for
mm-hmm.
Moses.
Mm-hmm.
They were to have the same heart, the same vision, the same yes. Spirit of God that was on Moses.
Mm-hmm.
God's help for Moses came through the support of godly men.
Yes.
Now, some Bible students believe that this group of 70 would prove to have a downside centuries later
mm-hmm.
when they would become the Sanhedrin.
Okay.
70 men. And how did Jesus get along with the Sanhedrin?
I would say probably not well.
Not well. It's possible that the Sanhedrin group originated here in Numbers 11, but initially this group helped Moses greatly. They were a blessing to him. They came alongside and bore the weight of leadership. as for the complaining, whining Israelites, they would get the meat that they were begging for.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they were begging, we want fish,
we want fish,
mm-hmm. we want meat.
Mm-hmm.
But this would be not fish, but quail. Only, believe it or not, Brian, they could get more than they could stand, according to verses 18 through 20 of Numbers 11.
Then you shall say to the people, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the hearing, and try that again, in the hearing of the Lord, saying, who will give us meat to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have despised the Lord who is among you, and you have wept before him, saying, why did we ever come up out of Egypt?
So what's the Lord saying to them there?
He's gonna make it come so much that it's going to be running out their nostrils.
You want meat?
I'm going to give you meat.
I'm going to give you more meat than you
more
want.
More meat that you want than you want, yeah.
And it's all because they, in verse 20, the Lord says, you have rejected me. You have forgotten
mm-hmm.
my gracious provision. You've forgotten my leading you.
Yes.
And you want to go back to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Moses, he couldn't imagine how the Lord would give the people even more meat than they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we're here in the desert. Where are you going to find all that meat? Well, Numbers 11, 31 through 34 tells how it happened.
Did you say 30?
11, 31 through 34.
Okay. Now, a wind went out from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and left them fluttering near the camp, about a day's journey on this side of about a day's journey of the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. And the people stayed up all day, all night, and all next day, and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers. And they spread them out for themselves all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was aroused against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very great plague. So he called the name of the place Kiproth Hatavah, because there they buried the people who had yielded to craving.
So we'll come back and talk about the Lord's provision of meat,
okay,
even beyond what they were asking for. After a Johnny Erickson Tata sharing hope here on your missionary radio station, your community Christ-centered station.
Hi, this is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata sharing hope. Listen to Johnny and be blessed.
I want to start today talking about Alzheimer's. And my story starts with my older sister, JK. After my rehab, she invited me to come and live with her and her daughter, Jamie, on the farm in Maryland. And I was thrilled, because I'd always looked up to JK. She was so capable, beautiful. I knew she had a deep affection for me, her little sister. She took good care of me on the farm, helping me hurdle my many obstacles that first year. My sister was so helpful in getting me up and out of depression. Now, although the years I spent on that farm were hard, I was still coming to grips with my quadriplegia. My wheelchair was still a new thing. It was also wonderful when a few Christian friends asked if they could come up to the farm on weekends and hold a Bible study. My sister Jay said, sure, but you'll have to let me sit in on it. And that same weekend, we must have had, 15 people show up. And Jay and her daughter were there, sitting in. Now, this Bible study grew fast, and JK kept things running, making BLT sandwiches for everybody and welcoming whoever came through the farmhouse door. Those were the most splendid evenings. We'd have up to 25 young people sitting around her big farmhouse table with open Bibles. It was a season that God used in my life to help me grow in Christ and learn to love his word. That was all more than 55 years ago. And in the decades since, the farm has changed. And so has my sister, JK. It's a lot quieter now on the farm, and she and her husband live a subdued life. It's because my sister has Alzheimer's. It started slowly enough, her forgetting things, but then it progressed pretty rapidly. So JK is on medication to slow the progress. I FaceTimed her this past weekend, and it did my heart good to see her smile. But she had this curious look on her face, as though she did not know me. And so I said, "Jay, do you recognize me? Do you know who I am?" She kind of scrunched her face, thought, and said, "You're my little sister." She remembered me. And then I asked with a smile, "Well, do you remember my name?" And then after a few seconds said, "Johnny." So our conversation was a little one-sided, me asking questions and her nodding yes and no. But at the close, when I asked her to pray with me, we said the Lord's Prayer together. And my sister Jay did not miss a word. She did not miss a beat. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," and so on. Isn't God amazing? And it's clear my precious sister has not lost her love for the Lord Jesus. This Sunday is World Alzheimer's Day. Here in the States, Alzheimer's affects 6.7 million people over the age of 65, and it's projected to double to 14 million by 2060. Of course, the main driver in that number is an aging population. My sister will age, and she'll remember less. I will probably call next weekend, and maybe she won't remember that I'm her little sister. That's going to be hard when it happens. And I know there must be some friends listening for whom it is very hard. So please visit johnnyradio.org, where I've posted a link to the Alzheimer's Association and their helpline. They offer support groups, consultations, safety resources, and a community resource finder for local services. Explore more at johnnyradio.org. And hey, I posted a recent photo of JK on johnnyradio.org. You gotta go see it. And thank you for praying for my wonderful sister and her precious family.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in John 14:16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." On a particularly rough airplane flight, a lady became very airsick. Her shoulders drooped and her head slumped forward. She was totally wiped out. The stewardess came by to help her. "Come on now," she said. "Buck up and get control of yourself. Sit up and take courage." She put her arm around the lady's arm and helped her sit upright in her seat, gave her gum to chew, and then went to get her some water. With the help of the stewardess, the lady finished the trip in far better condition than she began. This is like the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He comes alongside to help us when we are in hopeless defeat. He admonishes us, encourages us, and restores hope and faith in our lives. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
Every time I turn it on, it really inspires me to keep moving forward, knowing that God loves me.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Missionary Radio is more than a station. It's your community Christian station. For over 44 years, God has used this ministry to encourage hearts, strengthen faith, and proclaim that the world needs King Jesus. As we get ready for our What an Awesome God Carathon, October 7th through the 9th, we'd love to hear from you. Has a song lifted your spirit? Has a message spoken directly to your heart? Has Missionary Radio helped you grow closer to Christ? Call us and share your story at 270-962-4055. That's 270-962-4055. Your testimony may be the encouragement someone else needs to hear during our What an Awesome God Carathon, October 7th through 9th, on your community Christian station, Missionary Radio. Our Lord is touching lives, and we believe you have a story to share. Call anytime, 270-962-4055, and share your story. Together, let's celebrate what God has done, because truly, what an awesome God we serve.
24/7.
We've been in Numbers chapter 11. We found the Israelites complaining. They got tired of manna and ran out of things that they could make from manna. And so they decided, we want fish. We want fish. We want meat. Yeah. And the Lord said, "You want meat?
I'll give you some
meat. I'll give you more meat than you want." Not just for a day or a couple of days or a week, but for a whole month. Yep. And it says, until it comes out your nostrils and you loathe it because you have rejected the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd wailed before him saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? Now, let me go back and reread Numbers 11, 31 through 34, tells how it happened. Kind of reminds me of an instance down on our family farm years ago when the fellow that was in the neighbor brought some quail,
mm-hmm.
and they were tame quail that had just been released.
Yeah.
You could have hunted, they were to be hunted later.
Sure, sure, sure.
But you could have hunted them at that time just with a stick.
Uh-huh.
And got your share if you wanted to hunt quail.
Sure.
But that's kind of what the people did. Wind went out from the Lord, drove quail in from the sea, and it scattered them up to 2 cubits deep all around the camp. And as far as a day's walk in any direction, all that day and night and all the next, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. And I'm not sure what that's a large quantity. And then they spread them out all around the camp, and while the meat was still between their teeth and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague. So God miraculously directed a huge number of quail to the camp of Israel where they could be killed and eaten. And the people fell into a frenzy, killing the birds and gathering them and cooking them all through the night into the next day. Remember, they had no refrigeration. And in their great desire for meat to eat, they cooked and prepared them, feasted on them until they were literally stuffed. Now, Brian, I can almost hear one of them say, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Well, from overeating and because the Lord was disgusted with them, we read that the anger of the Lord burned against the people. And while the meat was still between their teeth, he struck them with a severe plague and many died. They literally ate themselves to death on the meat that they had been intensely craving. And they name that place Kibroth Hattaavah, meaning graves of craving. You know, even today, spiritually speaking, many people are killed by their unrestrained desires. I found it interesting in Dr. J. Vernon McGee's Through the Bible commentary. He refers to Psalm 106, verses 14 and 15, which in speaking of this event says, in the desert they gave in to their craving, in the wilderness they put God to the test, and so he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. In the King James Version it says, God answered their request, but he sent leanness into mm-hmm. their soul.
Mm-hmm.
Now what does that mean? Well, I think sometimes God grants our request if we worry him over and over and over with it, even though he knows it's not the best thing for us. And our relationship can suffer. Our mm-hmm. relationship with God can suffer as a result.
Mm-hmm.
And that result is leanness in our souls. It's emptiness, no joy. Nothing satisfies.
Mm-hmm.
The symptoms of leanness mm-hmm. in your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Numbers 12, verses 1 through 3, we see the brother and sister of Moses envying the close relationship that Moses had with God and the way God was using him in leadership.
Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth.
Now it's likely that his sister Miriam took the lead in this criticism of Moses, her little brother.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, Miriam is the one that watched over him when he was a baby in a basket mm-hmm. back in Egypt. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I remember that.
And she is mentioned first and suffers the most serious consequences later on for challenging Moses' leadership. And it stems from the marriage of Moses. Many scholars believe his first wife, Zipporah, may have died and he had remarried, and the wife he selected was a Cushite or perhaps an Ethiopian.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible this marriage was interracial, although God had no problems with it. that we read about. But Miriam and Aaron use the marriage of Moses as a pretext to challenge his leadership. They were not satisfied with their important roles. Aaron had led the priests and the Levites in the worship of Israel, and Miriam was also a prophetess. She spoke the word of the Lord, and seems I recall her being a worship leader, composing a song of praise to God after the Egyptians perished in the Red Sea after the Israelites passed through on dry ground. There's some question about verse 3, which says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." Now, where does the problem come in? Well, we believe that Moses was the writer of the first five books of the Bible. And if Moses was such a humble man, how could he write about this himself? Well, some believe it was added later, maybe by Joshua, Moses' assistant and successor. Other commentators suggest that humble is better understood as low or miserable. This was a low point in the life of Moses when he was getting hit from every side. And no doubt he was grieved that this challenge came up and also where it came from his siblings. So one great sign of his humility is that he did not come to his own defense. On this occasion, God himself vindicated his servant Moses before all the people. Verses 4 through 9 of Numbers 12, Brian.
4 through 9?
Yeah, we're going to roll right to the end.
Suddenly
today.
The Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting." So the three came out. Then the Lord came down to the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both went forward. Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in the dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed.
There was no long delay. Suddenly God spoke up for his servant Moses. When Miriam and Aaron asked what's so special about Moses, God responded by pointing out that he could speak with Moses face to face, speaking of their intimate relationship. Moses enjoyed a remarkably close communion with God. And as the leader of this insurrection, Miriam was singled out as an example to anyone else challenging God's choice of Moses to lead Israel. In Numbers 12, 10 through 13, Miriam was stricken with leprosy instantly.
"And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, 'O my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly, and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb.' So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, 'Please heal her, O God, I pray.'"
So in the rest of the chapter, God did heal her. But he allowed her to, as the Enduring Word commentary puts it, to live with the outward display of her inward heart for 7 days and allowed the whole nation to know it. Kind of not a good chapter.
Mm-mm.
For Aaron and Miriam.
Yeah.
But God vindicates the humility of his servant Moses. Father, help us not to be complaining people. Help us not to challenge the spiritual leaders that you have faced over us and question their integrity. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch on this Friday, and join us next week for The Front Porch here on your community station, Missionary Radio.